Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Let's get into it. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. Thank you. Is it Chloe? Thank you so much. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, and it says, and I will have a countdown, won't I, Chloe? Is that it? 22 minutes? Okay. It says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. It's a beautiful passage of scripture, and I really love that scripture. And I want to speak to you a message titled, There is More. There is more. Every time I read this scripture, I'm reminded of the bigness of God. You know, it talks about how of the incredible greatness of God's power. It talks about how the mighty power that raised Christ from the dead, you know, he's far above any ruler or authority or power. He fills all things everywhere with himself. God is so big. And I want to paint a picture to you of the enormity of our God. And I want to take you back to primary school science, and I want to consider, I hate science, but I want us to consider planet Earth, okay? We live in Australia, and we live on planet Earth. Bum, 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 and then around the Earth, it rotates around the sun, along with other planets. There's 9 planets in total. All right, you better track with me because I'm going somewhere. And so there's the sun and the planets revolve around it, and that is called, together, it is called our solar system. All right? Incredible. Now, the solar system is obviously huge. Like, none of us are going to travel to space probably in our lifetime. It's nuts to ever get there, to fly out there. The solar system is incredibly expansive. But did you know, I'm sure you do, that the solar system is actually part of an even bigger cluster of stars and space and matter, and that is called a galaxy. So I've got a picture of our galaxy on the screen, I think. There it is. There's our beautiful galaxy, and it's called our galaxy that we're in is called the Milky Way. So the solar system, our solar system is somewhere in there, because the sun, as you guys would already know, is a star. So look at all these stars. So the sun is one of them. And so our solar system is just in there somewhere. And did you know that our galaxy, the Milky Way, is estimated to contain between, how many stars do you think there are in the Milky Way? Throw it out there. Come on, yell it out. This girl, she's on ChatGPT right now. Our Milky Way is estimated to contain between 100 and 400 billion stars. Do you know what 1 billion is? Is 1,000 million, in case you didn't know. 1 billion is 1,000 million. And in our Milky Way, there is estimated to be probably 200 billion suns, stars. And did you know that there are this many galaxies? So the Milky Way is one galaxy, but there are estimated to be around 200 billion galaxies. So the Milky Way is one galaxy. It's just insane. They've estimated to be 200 billion galaxies in the observable universe. So obviously it's hard to observe further than that, but we don't know what's further than that. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that insane? Like, honestly, that when we say the God of the universe, we're talking about something so expansive and so huge. It brings new meaning to the scriptures where it talks about how the Lord is high above the heavens. Nothing can be compared to him. This is the God that we serve. He is truly incomprehensible. And it makes me feel so small, right? We're like smaller than a dust. We're smaller. We're just like a cough. We're nothing. We're like a blip. We're smaller than a blip. Like you and I, it just makes me feel so small and so tiny, us little humans. But I just love that the God of the universe is the God that sees you and loves you and created you. And in Psalm 103, verse 11, it says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him." He loves you so much. And you know what? His desire is to pour out himself into you. His desire is that he would pour out into you. It says in Acts 2, verse 17, in the last days, God says, "I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams." He doesn't say, "I might pour out." He says, "I will pour out my spirit." And I love that he says, "pour out," because it's not, "I will sprinkle my spirit. I will dribble. I will give you a little tiny taste." No, God's desire is that he would pour out from himself into you and I. It's just who he is. And so what is our position to be in all of this? What is our role to be? Well, I want to propose to you that our role is to be a vessel. And this is why this is here. It's not decor. It's not to look pretty. Our role is to be a vessel, kind of like this vessel on the stage with me today. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul writes, "We have this treasure in clay jars so that the extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us." So Paul talks about how you and I, he likens us to a clay jar. And a clay jar, it's a vessel. It's a vessel. And the jar, the vessel doesn't strive to be a vessel. It just is. Its purpose is to hold something. If you put a vase in the middle of a dining table, it wouldn't feel complete, would it? You just wouldn't do that. I've done it before. It looks silly. It's ridiculous. Because the vase, the purpose of the vase is to contain the beautiful flowers, is to show off the flowers, right? It's to show the glory of the flowers. And we are not the treasure ourselves. We are nothing. We are just a vessel. And we get to contain, the Bible says, the treasures of Christ, the knowledge of Christ. We get to carry and experience the fullness of Christ. And we don't have to strive and work hard to carry it. It just is. And everyone's a clay jar. There's not like, you know, Pastor Gareth and Jess are the gold jars. They're the golden jars. And Pastor Kenley is like a marble jar. And there's, you know what I mean? Like there are no delineations. Everyone is just a clay jar. We're all ordinary. We're all ordinary. And his position to you doesn't change. He has qualified you, every person in this room, to be a carrier of his presence. You're not worthy because of what you've done. You're worthy because of what he has done. You cannot earn it by your good works. We just get to carry and we get to host and we get to show off the presence of God in our lives. And so he desires to fill you today. Are you ready not to strive, but to do what the vessel does and simply open your heart and receive all that he has for you? At the time that I wrote this sermon, which was actually last year, Taylor Swift, she was doing her world tour. I don't know if you know who Taylor Swift is, but for those who have been living under a rock, here's a picture of Taylor Swift. There she is. Look at her. She's gorgeous, amazing, stunning. So Taylor Swift is an artist. You know, she's a singer. She's insanely famous, maybe the most famous pop artist of our time. And last year she was doing a world tour called the Eras Concert. And do we have any Swifties here today? Is anyone in Belmont a Swiftie? No, disgusting. Why? There's literally one. So she ridiculous. Why would I even ask that? So Swifties all over the world, when her concert became available, we're on Ticketmaster or whatever, in their office jobs with 70 browsers open trying to get tickets. She didn't actually come to Perth. She went to Sydney, and so people in Perth had to fly there and get those tickets there. And can you imagine with me that you really want to go to the Taylor Swift concert? Okay, let's just pretend. And you find out, someone has purchased you a ticket. They've paid for it. They've paid for your flights, your accommodation. And so you fly over there and you check into your hotel, and that would be awesome. But how many of you know you still need to get to the concert? You still need to be in the room to see her. Is hearing about it enough? Is watching the Disney special enough? And I've watched it many times. And it's actually not bad. But no, it is not enough. It is not enough because it's paid, but you still need to get on the plane, get over there and get yourself in the room. And even though you are worthy, and even though you're worthy to carry the presence of God, and even though you are a worthy jar, you still need to position yourself in the flow of God, of what God is pouring out. You actually need to position yourself. You got to position yourself in the concert. You can't position yourself outside the concert. And so I believe we need to position ourselves when it comes to the pouring out of God, because he's always pouring out. It's just, are we willing to receive it? It's like having an empty vessel sitting next to a tap that's on. It's ridiculous, right? It's like it needs to be under the tap to catch the flow to receive everything that it has. And our natural tendency is to edge away, because the flesh, the Bible calls it, our natural nature of who we are, it edges away each day from the pouring out of God. Unfortunately, it's just a reality of a sinful and a fallen world. Until we live in eternity with God, we live in a fallen world, and so our natural tendency is to edge away. And so we need to position ourselves in the slipstream of God's Spirit. And so there's a couple things I want to share with you today that we can do to position ourselves. And the first thing we need is we need humility. We absolutely need humility. James 4 verse 6 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, he can't draw near if you don't want it. It's wild. It's wild. It's hard to find other places in Scripture where it says that God openly resists something. Because, you know, he paid for our sins. He died for our sins. But he can't draw near if you don't want it. Pride cares about what people think. Pride cares about how you look in front of other people. Pride cares about our own interests and not the interests of God. And we all do it. Pride says, I'm all good. I don't need God today. I'm fine. Pride is full of self. You know, pride is when this jar is full of yourself and it's got no room for God. And humility is a position of getting low. In the Greek, that word humility is like base, cast down, humble, of low degree, lowly. It's this posture of getting on our knees. It's this posture of getting low, and it's a posture of the heart that says, God, I need you. God, I turn my attention to you. And clay jars in the ancient world were always available because clay jars were just super common. They were like the cheap jars, you know, everyone had them. And so we need to be reminded of that position that we are, just a humble clay jar dependent upon God. You know what? I am a clay jar and I need God. It's okay to admit that and depend upon Him and come with a poverty of spirit when we approach God. And I just encourage you every time you come into the presence of God, when you're driving in your car, when you step into church, when you're at home and you just turn your attention to Him, when you're at work and you just need Him for this situation, and every time you turn your attention to Him, come through the doorway of humility. I really believe it's a key when we enter the presence of God to go, God, I need You today. I'm coming low. I recognize I'm a sinner. I recognize I need You today. It's such an important, I think, key when we come in to the presence of God. And last year, God was speaking to me about this area of wholeness in my life, this area in my life that was gross. It was sinful. And I was working on that with the Lord. And I remember I was in church and a pastor came and he preached this message that was preaching straight into my situation. Has anyone had that happen before? It's like, oh, dude, is this guy speaking directly? This is so embarrassing. Everyone knows this is about me. But no one knows, because that's just the Holy Spirit. And he was preaching, and I was like, straight away, I was like, this is for me. Thank you, God. Yep, I need to hear this. This is hard. This is rough. And I was like, as soon as he opens up that ministry, I need to respond, like, without a doubt. And this is me in the first 10 seconds of the message. Like, I already knew. And so we get to the end, and he does the altar call. And, you know, I'm a pastor of Nations Church. And I oversee this college, and I oversee equipping. And pride wanted to get in there in that moment and go, everyone's looking at you. And, like, it's easy when 100 people are responding, but there was honestly, like, 3 people up the front, and I was just like, ugh. And I was like, everyone's going to see me. And, like, the altar call was very specific, you know. He was talking about some very specific things. And so I was just like, I already knew he was speaking. I already said to myself, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And I stepped forward. Honestly, it was humility. I had to enter that position of humility. It's like it comes from like that same word of humiliation. It's like I don't care what anyone thinks about me. I just want more of God right now in this moment. And as I stepped forward, I honestly felt something break over my life, and I just received such deliverance that day. Honestly, I just received the power of God came and honestly altered and transformed my life. And I knew because someone prayed for me, and that was really, really powerful. But as well, as soon as I'd stepped out, it was that key of humility that broke something over my life. The other thing that pride does is it comes in the form of familiarity. And I've been at church my whole life. I was literally like born into church. Like my mum got saved the year I was pregnant. She was pregnant with me the year she got saved. And so I've been a Christian my whole life. I've never walked away from God. So I have been to church a lot. And I have been sat through a lot of sermons and been through a lot of singing and a lot of worship. And it can be so easy to get familiar with the presence of God. And to be familiar is to treat something as common, is to not treat it with honor and wonder. And it's to think, I've seen it all. But, you know, have we? Have we seen it all? Have we experienced the more that God has for you, the more of who He is? And so we need to lay down pride. We need to lay down familiarity when we are vessels of the living God. I'm sure, you know, Judas Iscariot, he was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. Think about that. He saw Jesus walk on actual water, which is mind-blowing. He saw Jesus raise someone from the dead, someone that died for 4 days. The guy was dead. And then he was raised to life. And then Judas, he saw all that and still betrayed him. Lord, I don't know why, but perhaps he was treating Jesus as common when he was actually the Son of God, when he was actually God himself. And so we cannot afford to be familiar in the presence of God. And the second thing is that we need to position ourselves to be hungry, to position ourselves for more. We need hunger. And I know that we're in a season of fasting and prayer right now, so we're all hungry, but we're hungry for God. And I'm preaching to the choir here, but it says in Mark 12, verse 30, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind and with all your strength. That is a lot of all, you know. This is the greatest commandment that Jesus said, is that we would love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, mind, and strength. When's the last time you loved the Lord your God with all your strength? You know, this is something you don't accidentally do, is it? It's not something you just feel like doing all the time. It's something that we actually have to be intentional about. What does loving the Lord your God with all your soul, mind, and strength look like to you in your life? Honestly, what could that look like? Because I believe it requires hunger to live out the greatest commandment. It requires a hunger. It requires a drive. And sometimes we're hungry for many things. I know you guys know this, but sometimes we're hungry for many things, but not the main thing. And we're hungry to be seen, and we're hungry for more of this, and we're hungry for career, and we're hungry for more material things. And we try to fill our mind and fill our souls, and we're hungry for Netflix even sometimes. And all of these things stifle our spiritual appetite for God, and it fills our vessel with other things. But these counterfeit substances, they're counterfeit. They don't satisfy. 2 weeks ago, I was driving out my four-wheel drive Prado. I don't even know what brand that is. Is that a Toyota? Whatever. Anyways, and I had my daughter in my car, and I went to the petrol station, and I filled it to the top, $140 of unleaded petrol, and it's supposed to have diesel in it. And literally, I was, you know, when you're super bored and you're like, oh my God, this is taking forever to fill this tank. When it got to about like $135, it started to click. I was like, oh no, oh no, oh no. And then it like clicked and I was like, no, I've just filled it with diesel. Sorry, I'm yelling. But the thing is, it doesn't matter. Like, you could fill my petrol tank up with unleaded, but it's not going to drive. In fact, if you start driving it, it'll break the car down. It needs diesel. And so you can fill your life with all sorts of things, but it's not going to hit. It's not the thing that we were created to have, to fill, be filled with. We were designed and created from the moment we were born to carry the treasure and the fullness and the presence of God. And so we've got to hunger after the right things, not the wrong things. And hunger after him. Hebrews 11 says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently is a word for the season. It is an intentional thing. If I lost my child at the shops, I would diligently, so I would have to actively get up and do something. You cannot be apathetic when you're being diligent, when you're diligently seeking something. You can't be apathetic about it. It has to be this intentional drive. And so that's why conference, I want to encourage you, if you haven't registered or if you haven't considered going, is so special, because it's an intentional moment where you go, all right, I'm going to set aside these days, not even that long, honestly, it's like a day and two nights, but to set aside this time, is it that hard? To set aside this time and say, God, I could be doing anything else in this time, but in this time, this week, this weekend, I'm going to choose to intentionally put my money, it's hard, but it's intentional, to take my money and to put it into spiritual things and to put your children in an atmosphere of faith. The first time I encountered God was I was a child in a camp, you know, and it was like conference. It was exactly the same. And I remember these leaders got around me and prayed for me, and I began to feel the presence of God. I was like 10 years old. I was like 8, honestly, so young. And I can't express enough how important it is to put your kids in an atmosphere like conference. Same thing with fasting. Obviously, with fasting, it's this, you kind of deprive yourselves of this physical food because it's this very intentional thing because it drives us to spiritual food. And that's what I like about it, is that every time I feel that hunger, it drives me to prayer. And so it's that fasting as well as that intentional thing. Look, we're in 21 days. We've got this week left for corporate fasting. And I just encourage you, it's not too late. It's not too late to say to yourself, yeah, I haven't been doing it the last day. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's between you and God to say, Lord, I want more of you. I'm dry. You know, I'm feeling ordinary. My life doesn't feel full of purpose. Whatever your situation is. And go, Lord, I just want more of you. It's a position of hunger, not waiting and hoping, but actually intentionally positioning yourself in the downpour of what God has for you. And I just want to invite the worship team up now. And I just want to say this last thing is that he doesn't run out. God does not run out. There's a story in 2 Kings 4, we don't have time to read it, where a lady, her husband has died, and so she doesn't have any money, and the creditors are coming, and she's crying out to Elisha the prophet because the creditors are threatening to take her sons as slaves, okay? And so Elisha says, what can I do to help you? Tell me what you have in your house. And says, all I've got is a flask of oil, right? You guys, some of you would have heard this story before. And so Elisha says to her, go and borrow as many jars as you can from all of your neighbors, from all of your friends. Get as many jars as you can and fill them up with oil, with the oil. And miraculously, as she poured the oil into one jar, it filled to the top, and miraculously the second and the third and the fourth, and the oil didn't run dry until she ran out of jars. She ran out of jars. Soon every container was full to the brim. And so she said to her son, get me another jar. And the sons were like, there's no more jars. And then the Bible says the olive oil stopped flowing. The oil kept flowing until she ran out of jars. The oil kept flowing till the capacity of the jars was full, and it did not have any capacity to receive it. And so God does not run out. It's that we had run out of the jars. He's always got more. And I just want to connect this with Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ, Christ is not his surname. Christ is not Jesus' surname. Christ means anointed one. It is a title that was given to Jesus. It was a title of honor and proving his messianic title that he is the anointed one. He is the Christ, the Son of God. And so Christ means anointed one. And you know what anointed means? It actually means oil being poured out. It means oil being smeared on. And so every time you say the name of Jesus Christ, you are declaring Jesus Christ, Jesus the oily one, Jesus the anointed one. And so he is the oil. He is the oil that was filling those jars in the Old Testament. He is a picture. He is a type. He was that oil that never runs dry. And he's got more for you today. The Bible says he's got rivers of living water. The Bible says Jesus Christ has got your daily bread. He says, I am your bread, your daily bread. He doesn't want you to live off last year's encounter. He doesn't want you to live out when he poured out on you last year or last week or even this morning, because there is more. He's got more for your life. So what is it that you need? What is it that you need? Is it financial? Is it relational? Do you have issues at home? You know, God knows. God sees. And I want to encourage you today that Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the oily one, wants to touch you again today, wants to fill you with more. He's got so much more for you than you could ever imagine. And our world needs Christians who are full of the presence of God. Your workplace needs you full of the presence of God. Your family needs you to be overflowing with the oil of God. We need to see more salvations. We need to see more healings, more testimonies, a move of his spirit. And what it's going to take is for believers to do what we're called to do, and that is to carry His presence, to carry, to be filled up, and to touch this broken world for His glory.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.